It's quiet because it's lunchtime here at Macquarie Lodge Aged Care Plus Centre, and today is Fish Day, one of the residents' favourites. Maureen Berry is an activities officer here at the centre, and she's taking me around, introducing me to some of her friends.
Nina, she's from the radio station.
Lena.
Nina.
Lena.
Nina.
With an N.
Where does the N go?
At the beginning.
Yeah. How are you, Nina?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm resigned to dying here, so I've got to fit in with their procedure. Yeah, yeah.
And that means playing the games.
Yes, that's right, yes. We've got a very good activities lady here. We couldn't do without her.
We have residents' meetings once a month, and I always put it out there what sort of activities they would like to do, or, you know. We've started knitting, and I've got so many squares coming out my ears, so we're starting to knit them together, and we're going to make a blanket.
Just from chatting to everyone, it's clear to me that food and bingo are the biggest crowd drawers around here.
The food's good. Just saying how... I have to be very careful now.
But not everyone likes the same activities. When Noreen introduces me to Maureen, she's busy helping her friend. The skin of the fish is crispy today and her friend is struggling with it, so Maureen's cutting it up and feeding her.
Now that they've got older, they don't like the crunchy things.
When she's not at meals and helping out her friends, Maureen likes to spend time in her room, colouring in and doing puzzles. While she doesn't go to many of the group activities, she's been here 10 months and seems to feel right at home.
And the minute I walked in the door, I felt the love that was here.
But this wasn't the same for the first aged care facility Maureen went to, which she really didn't like.
Because of the clientele that was at the other place, screaming all night and lights flashing on and... Don't have that here.
So when it comes to choosing an aged care facility for our loved ones, how do we know that we're making the right choice? In Australia, we have an aged care quality agency, and every 3 years it measures all aged care facilities to ensure they're meeting minimum standards. According to Richard Baldwin, associate in the Faculty of Health at UTS, 96% of them at any one time have full accreditation, but that doesn't necessarily help families make their choice.
There's a debate in the industry about whether that really measures quality. What it does is it acknowledges that those services are meeting minimum standards. So we're not in a position of actually saying whether one provider provides higher quality than another or one sector provides higher quality than another. What we do know is that if you look at the international evidence, for-profit providers come out as providing higher quality of care in those studies where it's been possible to measure the quality of care. And that's a consistent finding over a number of decades in a number of countries. Now, that doesn't mean that for-profit providers provide bad care. It doesn't mean that at all. And most for-profit providers meet minimum standards and provide good care. But what the international evidence says is that if you are going to have a system, if you're going to change your system and change the balance between for-profit and not-for-profit providers, then you ought to think carefully about whether you want to go down a policy pathway that is going to see for-profit providers predominant in the market as they have in other countries that have gone down this pathway.
When we are talking about measuring quality, what are the actual things that we're looking for?
Well, there are two main areas where you might want to measure quality. One is quality of care and the other one is quality of life. Now, they're sort of broad catch-all categories and some indicators slip from one to the other depending on who's talking at the moment. But quality of care means that if you've got residents who are dependent on high-quality nursing care, they're primarily in their bed most of the day or severely disabled, then you want to make sure that the quality of care that is measured around things like admissions to hospital, infection rates or bed ulcers, what have you. Of course, not everybody that's in residential aged care is bedbound, and an increasing proportion of people in residential aged care with dementia are still physically well. So for those, you would be concerned, and also for the people in bed, about their quality of life. Things like dignity and privacy, capacity to make decisions about food and entertainment, And at the moment, we don't have a system across Australia that collects data and enables consumers, or and governments for that matter, to compare quality of life and quality of care across the whole system.
So if you were in the situation where a loved one or a family member was going into aged care and you were considering these things, you were considering quality of life and quality of care, how would you go about making the decision about going to the right place? Is there any information available?
There's very little information available other than what you do by phoning around and, you know, checking up your contacts, asking your GP. It's a very, those circumstances where as a family member you have to make the decision about residential aged care for a loved one are usually taken in some sort of crisis. So mum and dad's fallen over, gone into hospital. It's clear that they're not going to be able to be looked after at home again, and the hospital wants them out of the acute care bed, and you start hunting around for a facility that you're happy with. Under the current system, across the country, bed occupancy is around 93%. Now, that varies a little bit from location to location. But what it means is that a lot of the services that you try the first time are going to be full or near full. And so you don't necessarily end up with the place that you would choose. And, of course, one of the things that a lot of the discussions about quality and choice in aged care fails to take into consideration is that when you're buying or purchasing services in residential aged care, you're buying a bundle of attributes. So you're buying care, you're buying a lifestyle, you're buying location, you're buying something that's affordable, and there might be some other aspects of that, hotel services, for example, food and comfort. So families will often be forced to make some decisions. They might say, well, we want our loved one to be in a facility that's close by, even if the quality isn't as high as we would like. So they'll trade off quality for location. Another family might say, no, we want the highest value. We're prepared to pay more, even if that means going to a place that's further away. So these are individual decisions. And we don't have a rating system that tells us how one service rates on a, you know, lifestyle and quality of accommodation versus quality of care, etc. So it's very difficult for individuals to make those decisions at the moment. The government's moving down that pathway with the My Aged Care website, where it started off a couple of years ago requiring aged care providers to put their prices up on the My Aged Care website against the characteristics of their particular facility. And there's been a program of developing quality indicators. The three of them have been trialled to date. And individual providers will be able to put up the statistics around their quality indicators up on the My Aged Care website. But, of course, there are a small number of indicators, and it's early days, and it will be some years, I would suspect, before that system's fully up and running.
And surely if those organisations are providing that information themselves, they have a vested interest in selling their services, don't they?
Yes, one would hope that over time that system would have some validity and reliability to it, so that the way that the data is collected and the way that the data is analysed and the way that the data is reported is the same for all services. I think we've got a way to go for that to happen yet.
Is there somewhere else in the world that's got this right, that has some sort of comparison system that we can look to as a way of moving forward?
Well, both the United States and the United Kingdom use a star rating system, which a number of advocates claim is more consumer-friendly than the Australian system. Of course, star rating systems have their shortcomings and their criticisms as well. The United States, because of some reforms that were legislated a couple of decades ago, collects an enormous amount of data, and their star rating system is based on, you know, very large data sets. I can't tell you how accurate that is, but at least it provides some level of information. There's some research to say that consumers use that rating system and understand it. That research also suggests that they don't 100% rely on it. So it's just another piece of information that they use in making a decision about a particular facility.
I want to ask more about this idea of life care as opposed to quality of life versus quality of care. Yeah. So when we talk about this quality of life, what are the factors that can be forgotten?
Quality of life is important for all residents, and it's particularly important for what we used to call low care residents. That is, those older people who still have a level of functionality in relation to activities of daily living but can't live independently, and also for people with greater disabilities. We've tended not to focus on leisure activities. In other words, the common experience that people complain of is that you go and visit a place and there's one television in the corner and it's turned on to one program and everybody's sitting around forced to watch the same program. So that's one area. Dignity and privacy are big issues. They're part of the certification standards, but of course that might vary from one individual to another. Of course, what we've got between rural and metropolitan services is the amount of money that's available to those facilities to put in the services that meet individual needs.
From government?
Well, from government, but also from the consumers. These days, most consumers who purchase a refundable accommodation deposit for their accommodation will rely on the value of their house for the level that they can pay. And understandably, the more you pay, probably the higher quality facility that you're going to get. So people in the bush whose house prices are generally lower than those in the city can afford less when they go into residential aged care. And so they might be struggling more to get the choice of leisure activities and standard of accommodation, etc., that they would wish for.